This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. And also, our Fastest 15 is streaming on Facebook Live this half hour. Welcome. Glad you're with us. So I just saw a story that just posted on the Seattle Times that in Kirkland, there are so many dogs pooping in the parks that they're trying to shame owners. They have these volunteers, and they go around the park, and every time they see a pile of dog poo, they put a yellow flag next to it. And so the thinking is, if your dog starts to poop in the park, you'll look around and see how pervasive the problem is, and you will be shamed into scooping your own pet's poop. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, I have yet another great plank for my platform if I do run for governor next year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which is starting to look more and more likely now, as of today.
Right.
But you will be my chief of staff.
Of course.
Yeah. So here's my solution to this. We will have the volunteers not plant yellow flags, but the volunteers will identify the owners of said offending dogs. And then once a month, you know how in, I think it's Singapore, they do the public canings, and it's all about, you know, public shaming. So if your dog poops in the park, once a month, we will invite the public to gather at this massive public event, and the owner will be forced to poop in public just as their dog does, but it'll be with thousands of people watching.
Okay, you lost me a little bit. I thought, like, there's public shaming, but that is a little bit over the top. Nobody wants to see that.
But nobody's going to have to see it because people are going to stop letting their dogs do that, or they're going to start scooping. So, see, that's the thing about all of my solutions. You're not going to see the ramifications of the policy. You're going to see the elimination of the problem.
No, it's always going to take one example.
Well, then
you're going to have to do it at least once.
It takes one example. And we'll have this massive public square event, and the owner will be forced to do one of the most... Although, we've got about...
Yeah, that's not...
Now, we have thousands of people doing that right now in downtown Seattle, don't we?
Yeah, no.
And they don't seem to care. Let me rethink this.
Yeah,
I'm trying to refine my program here. But here's the other thing I don't quite understand. And then they say that it's dog poop. Remember a few years ago, I talked about this on the show. So there was an attempt to get dog owners, if your dog poops on your own property, that you would have to scoop it up and put it in your yard waste, or I still don't know which garbage can is which. But you couldn't even, because on my property, we've got a bunch of ivy alongside a walkway. And our last dog, Star, she would only poop in the ivy, which was awesome because it's well hidden, it doesn't stink. It was fantastic. Now, Buddy... He goes on the pathway, so we just go out and flip it into the ivy. And if this attempt a few years ago to force dog owners to bag the poop on their own property, because they said, well, it eventually gets bacteria and it leaches into the groundwater and blah, blah, blah. How many animals do we have in this state? Bears and coyotes and birds and everything else, squirrels, raccoons. And they all poop. And to suggest that dogs are this massive problem, they're a tiny representation of all the wildlife poop in the world. And yet they're always, and again, I do not want them doing it in the parks, and owners who don't scoop up in the parks are, that's bad. That's really bad. But to suggest that dogs are a disproportionate problem when they're probably 1/1000th of the wildlife population anywhere. It's silliness. It's absolute silliness. Okay, I just saw that story. I got a fascinating email today from Douglas. And I love these exclusive tips that I get. He just wrote, huge news story. And he said, Google's Seattle Eastside corporate office is inserting hundreds of phony locksmith and garage door repair listings over Seattle metro area. And he said it's part of a nationwide scam. And he said the name of the group, which is based in a foreign land. And I haven't been able to vet that part of it yet. But there are all these $29 locksmith bait and switch ads on Google. And this has been a scam. I'm curious. I would love to hear from you if you've been the victim of a locksmith scam. So I told the story a few years ago. We used to have a little vacation place on the Columbia River, right next to the BB Bridge that goes into the town of Chelan. And one time we went over there. We're going to be there for a few days. Friends were going to come and meet us. And my Sea-Doo I'd left in my garage at our Columbia River place. And all I wanted to do on this trip was to Sea-Doo, to go ride the waves. And for some reason, the garage had a deadbolt that we used all the time. And then it had a lock on the handle that we never used. And it was two different keys. And I had the deadbolt key, but somebody had locked the handle the last time we were up there. So I couldn't get into, or it was vice versa. No, it was the deadbolt I couldn't get into. And so I couldn't get into my garage. So same thing. I get on my phone and I look up locksmiths and it pops up. You know, when I Googled it, that there were, you know, all these locksmiths, it was like, you know, 15 locksmiths in Chelan and Chelan Falls, Washington. And I could tell by looking at it that it was a total scam. And indeed, I'll finish the story because the whole lock thing was one of my most favorite stories of a great local business. But NBC, the Today Show, a while back, they talked about these locksmith scams that go on all around the country.
They grab you with catchy web ads promising professional service at a great price. But when you're standing in the cold and call for help, who's really showing up at your door?
I was just horrified.
Janice Putnam was locked out of her condo all alone, so she Googled the local locksmith on her phone.
I asked them how much this was going to cost me, and they said $39. I thought, oh, wow, I'm lucky. This is going to be good.
But when the locksmith got her back in the house, that $39 quote was gone. The new price, a whopping $833.
I couldn't even think. I was like almost physically ill.
Experts say locksmith schemes are a growing national problem, so we set up our own experiment, renting this home in suburban New York. We hired this licensed New York City locksmith to install simple locks on our door. He says any real locksmith would pick it easily. He showed us in just seconds. His charge for this job, about $100.
There's no damage to the lock. It's a minimal charge to a customer, and it's the proper way to perform that service on a lockout.
Okay, so a growing scam all around the country, but here's when they went undercover. Here's what happened.
This guy's company touts $15 locksmith service, but when he gets to our door,
it's $100 and the $15 service fee.
And he's just warming up. Instead of picking our lock, he tries to pry the door open with a board. When that doesn't work, he grabs our doorknob with pliers and rips it off. Now we're on the hook for a brand new lock and doorknob. Total price, $223.
And that wasn't even the most outrageous.
We were most shocked by this one.
To drill the lock, can it be $275?
Well, I need a lock, right?
The new one is $225.
We're already up to $500, and he hasn't even started working yet. Then he begins to drill. Final price this time, $635.
It's horrible. That's ridiculous. It's a $100 job. It's $600 he wants.
Even more outrageous, he wants it all in cash.
The credit card machine doesn't work. There's no way you can pay cash?
I don't have $635 cash.
Maybe we could go to the bank or something.
The bank?
So anyway, my listener who tipped me off on this morning, he said, just Google. And in Snoqualmie, Washington, there are 15 locksmiths listed. And I went to the webpage, and it's this, you know, really brightly colored webpage, and it looks phony as can be. And it sounds like this locksmith scam is alive and well here in the Puget Sound area. So let me go back to my Chelan thing. So same thing. This is about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. So I can tell when I tried to Google and find a locksmith, I could tell that they were all scammers because I have pretty decent radar for that sort of thing. So I called the Ace Hardware store in Chelan, which is an awesome hardware store. It looks and smells exactly the way a hardware store should, where, you know, it's not the neatest, but it's like an adventure around every aisle, around every bend. It's Kelly's Ace Hardware in Chelan. And I called him up and I said, hey, I'm locked out of my garage. Is there anything you guys can suggest? And they said, well, you can drill it out. I go, oh, man, I don't have a drill. And they go, and I didn't say my name. They didn't know who I was. I don't think they did anything special because I have a radio talk show or anything. I was just calling some random customer. And they said, well, it was a Saturday morning. And they said, well, come on over and we'll loan you a drill. And so I drive into town and I bought a lock, a new deadbolt from them. The guy explained, here's how you drill it out. Here's the kind of bit. He goes, you know, you'll have to buy the bit because it's going to wear down pretty good. And I go, yeah. And they go, well, we'll just loan you a drill. Come on back. And it was like being in Mayberry. And it was dealing with a wonderful local community business. And I told the story when it first happened. It was really sweet because the next time I was over there, because like I said, I don't think they had any clue who I was. And a bunch of customers had told them, and they found the podcast of it. And all the employees listened to it, and they were just really sweet. It was awesome. But it appears that if you're locked out of your car or your house or your vacation place, your garage, if you go to Google, you're going to find a ton of scammers, and it looks to be an international operation. And we're going to keep looking into this. But I'd love to hear from you. If you want to, we'll get something up on Facebook probably. How soon can we post on Facebook, just since Jennings isn't here today?
I'm able to do that for you.
Are you?
Very quickly.
Okay, yes. We'll put something up on our Facebook page. And you know, if you've been the victim of one of these scamsters, let us know. And we're going to follow up on this. But we're also going to see why Google's accepting these ads.
Well, they do have this new guarantee thing, though, so that if you get scammed by these companies that are listed in their Google guarantee companies, then they pay you back. Google pays you back.
Yes, but if you go down from the ones that are in the box at the top,
right,
and click on another web page,
sure,
those are not guaranteed.
Right, which is the lesson here.
Yeah.
Only use the guaranteed ones.
But why would they accept placements, ad placements, for scamsters?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that's a you know, you can only regulate the web so much. Anybody can post something on the web, and then
right,
there's all these algorithms that
we wouldn't do that to our listeners. We wouldn't let some foreign scam operation buy airtime so that we can help them bilk our listeners.
Well, I'm not sure that they get money for that. That's probably just part of the search engine and
these companies use their search optimizers who bump them up on Google.
Right.
Okay. We're going to look into all of this, So stay tuned. Up next in the Fastest 15. So there's another kind of exclusive story that a listener tipped me off on. I was watching football on Saturday afternoon, and on Fox Sports, a commercial came on for a new game where Terry Bradshaw will give you some of his money if you are great at picking the outcome of 6 football games.
With Fox Sports Super 6, you get a chance to win my money, $250,000, Uncle Terry.
Oh, yeah. It's free to play, and all you have to do is pick the outcome of six football games.
Okay, it's free to play. But if you look at the disclaimer at the bottom of the TV screen, it says open to residents of all states except Washington. And why is this? Well, we contacted the State Gambling Commission this morning, and they said, we don't know why they have that up there. But here's what I know, that in our state, you can kill a child while driving drunk, and your punishment will likely be less than what is prescribed if you play one hand of 25 cents Texas Hold'em poker on your computer. Because in Washington State, with the most punitive gambling laws in the United States, it is a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison if you play one 25-cent hand of online poker. And this game is free that Washington residents cannot play. We're the only people in the country. Now, can somebody explain to me, in liberal, progressive utopia that is Washington, marijuana legal in King and Snohomish County, heroin legal, meth legal, cocaine legal, a football pick game that is free to enter, where you have nothing at risk, but you could win prizes, is not allowed here in Washington. And this is because, and I believe she has since passed, but there was a state senator named Margarita Prentice. And she pushed through the most punitive gambling laws in the United States. And so we are the only people in the country that cannot play this Fox Sports game that's free to enter. What kind of sentence? Drop me a text. See if you can explain it to me, because I'm not able to figure this one out. What kind of sense does it make to make marijuana, heroin, meth legal, and playing a no-risk football pick game not allowed in Washington? Yeah, drop me a text. 98973. That's 98973. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Stories. Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. If you missed it, had a chance to talk. It was really fun. With the lead guitarist for Pearl Jam, Mike McCready. Tell you what he had to say. Coming up next. Well, the many, many, many blessings in my life is I occasionally get to talk to just people who are absolute superstars in their chosen pursuit. And one venue through which I regularly get those opportunities, it's a big deal to raise the 12 flag before Seahawks home games. It's a cool tradition, and it's a really big deal. And yesterday, Mike McCready, the guitarist for Pearl Jam, he raised the 12 flag, and we always get a chance to visit with those 12 flag raisers on the pregame show. And I found him to be just absolutely charming as he talked about his Seahawks fandom.
I know you came to Seattle as a very young man, and you have been a Seahawks fan your whole life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up here. I grew up in Laurelhurst, went to Roosevelt High School. I'm a product of Seattle, Washington. I love it here in the Seahawks back in the day with Largent. And, so this is a huge deal for me. I'm just honored to be part of this.
And another friend of mine, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, I thought they were maybe about the same age. And I know Duff went to Roosevelt, and this was something I had never heard.
Were you guys at Roosevelt at the same time?
Duff was in, yeah, I was 2 years younger. I was 84. He was 86. But I think he left early, left/quit or whatever, and then he moved down to Los Angeles. And the rest was history there. And I actually ended up following him down there with my band Shadow. We were trying to make it right after him, and we fell apart, and I came back up to Seattle.
Think about that. How about that? At Roosevelt High School at the same time, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, Mike McCready from Pearl Jam.
Rough Riders put out two legendary guitarists.
You know what? It was all about not paying attention in school at Roosevelt. But I was all about music and something in the water. You know, Mix-a-Lot. So Mix-a-Lot was from there too, yep. And Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue went there. There's a lot of rock people and rap and that went through Roosevelt system. So.
And then I, in researching the night before that I was going to talk to Mike, I saw that he put together a really cool music festival this summer in Big Sky, Montana, where he just brought over a bunch of Seattle musicians.
Tell me about that music festival you put together this summer, because you brought a lot of those legendary Seattle artists over there.
Well, yeah, my first kind of festival putting on, it was called Peak to Sky, and I have Montana roots too. My grandparents were both born there. Both my grandmas were born in Montana. So, and Jeff, our bass player, lives there. So we have ties there. And I put together a band with Duff McKagan and Brandi Carlile and a bunch of my friends from here in Seattle, and we just did a bunch of cover songs. And it was kind of me having fun and creating my own thing, and people liked it, I think. I had a blast.
I'm sure. Sounds really fun. And then, of course, they were recently, Pearl Jam was inducted into the Rock Hall.
It meant a lot to me to know that we were going to be in it, and I didn't think that. I thought a little bit about it, but when we were driving actually to the event, I went, whoa, this is a big deal, and I'm super nervous. And it was a beautiful night, and I will always cherish it in my heart. So, it's a huge honor to be part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
As we were talking, we were looking down at the field, and it was about less than an hour from kickoff, but all the players were down stretching, throwing, jogging, warming up. And I think it was Jordan Babineau who said, how's that compare to your warm-up before one of your Pearl Jam shows?
You know, for us, we kind of do stuff where we change the set list every night. So we're working on songs right up till the minute we go on stage. So a lot of times we'll do a completely different set the night before. So we're working out what those songs are going to be. We have like 300 songs to pull from. So we're, last minute getting our stuff ready, but also trying to relax, but also getting pumped up. So it's a blur, but it's good. It's a blur, but it's always about the songs and getting it ready for the, it's an important thing for us to do the sets the best as we can. And every time we play a set, it's specifically catered to the night of the town we're playing in.
And one thing that I do greatly admire is, while I have a lot of skepticism about how our government handles the homelessness issue, I know that they did a couple of shows a year ago at then Safeco Field, and that money went to these private philanthropies that are, a billion times more efficient than government. But it was money that they were raising to try to help these private organizations that have made much more of a positive impact than government. Those are my words, not his. But that was trying to make a difference.
Tell me how the genesis of that and how that came about as such a cause for Pearl Jam.
Well, growing up here in Seattle, Washington, we've certainly seen it change, and we've seen some of the, some of the homelessness and all of that kind of that has happened, and we're super concerned about it. And we're, we want to be productive members of the community and try to do whatever we can using our fame or our band to be part of a solution-oriented thing. And Kelly Curtis, our manager, came up with the idea, and a couple other, Nicole Vandenberg, some great people on our team, helped us kind of reach out to a lot of local organizations to say, hey, do you want to be part of this and raise some money for any of the, Mary's Place, Treehouse, any of the kind of organizations that help homelessness around Seattle, Washington. And we were overwhelmed with all the people that came out that wanted to be part of that. Yeah. So we thank all of Seattle for doing that.
Well,
and we still got a long way to go, but we want you to know that we're still part of, hopefully, part of the solution.
And then finally, I asked Mike McCready, you know, Pearl Jam is, you know, legendary band, and their fans have become rather legendary as well.
Have you ever been able to put your finger on why the connection is so deep between you and your fans?
You know, I feel a lot of it has to do, I don't know exactly what it is, I can't put my finger on it, but I know that there is an honesty, I think, to our music, and I feel like Ed, when Ed writes his lyrics, it's from his heart, and he's a caring guy, and he has a sense of hopefulness in a lot of his lyrics that I am drawn to. And I, you know, we're serious about our music. We also have a fun time too. We're not as serious as people probably think we all are, but it's a combination of us loving to do music and knowing that we have a fan base out there that still wants to hear some. So, I mean, we're lucky to still have that. So it's like, you know, I was talking to a police officer earlier. Like, I don't know exactly why we've been around this long, but there's some factors of luck and timing and, you know, hopefully it's an honesty in the music.
Luck,
you know?
Timing and talent has a little.
Well, there's talent and all that stuff. But yeah, but if we had come out now, who knows? You know, it's like there's all those factors. Yeah. You never know.
Mike McCready of Pearl Jam on with me yesterday on the pregame show. Really cool. Really nice guy. Wanted to share it with you in case you weren't listening early on Sunday. Before we take a quick time out, I am told that we have an absolute major problem on I-5 down in the South Sound. Kimmy Klein, what is going on?
Well, Dory, yeah, this is about 12 miles south of Olympia, and both directions of I-5 are blocked by this crash just north of Maytown Road. It's involving at least a couple semis. One of them broke through the barrier. So, again, northbound 5 is actually scooting through on the right shoulder, but still you could avoid this if you can get off and use Tilley Road or Little Rock Road around it. Even southbound 5, you are not getting through at all. So if you're headed that way, exit by 93rd and Tumwater on southbound 5. You can use Tilley Road, Little Rock Road, even Old Highway 99, and reconnect at Maytown Road to try and avoid this backup. But yeah, so far, basically both directions of I-5 fully blocked at Maytown Road. We also have a stalled semi southbound 5 at 54th and 5, and that's causing a solid backup from Highway 18. Cairo Radio, real-time traffic. I'm Kimmy Klein.
Wow, thanks, Kimmy. That's crazy that a crash has closed both directions of I-5. That sounds like a mess down there. We'll keep you posted throughout the afternoon on that significant traffic issue, and we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. That Hillary Clinton, she's a funny little scamp. So last week, Donald Trump, he's the president of the United States now. I don't know if you heard that. Donald Trump sent a letter to the president of Turkey. And here's what it said. Dear Mr. President, let's work out a good deal. You don't want to be responsible for slaughtering thousands of people, and I don't want to be responsible for destroying the Turkish economy. And I will. I've already given you a little sample with respect to Pastor Brunson. I've worked hard to solve some of your problems. Don't let the world down. You can make a great deal. General Mazlum is willing to negotiate with you, and he's willing to make concessions that they would never have made in the past. I am confidentially enclosing a copy of his letter to me just received. History will look upon you favorably if you get this done the right and humane way. It will look upon you forever as the devil if good things don't happen. Don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool. I will call you later. Sincerely, Donald Trump. So, Hillary Clinton, she went on Twitter on Friday evening and she released a parody of the Donald Trump letter. And so here's what Hillary Clinton tweeted out. She said, found in the archives. It was a letter 57 years ago from John F. Kennedy to Russian or Soviet Premier Khrushchev about the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis. So here's what Hillary came up with, because she and her team are so creative. Dear Premier Khrushchev, don't be a bleep, okay? Get your missiles out of Cuba. Everybody will say, yay, Khrushchev, you're the best. But if you don't, everybody will be like, what a bleep bleep, and call your garbage country the Soviet Bunyan. You're really busting my bleep here. Give you a jingle later. Hugs, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Well, I'm telling you, that Hillary Clinton and her team, they're clever. The way that they came up with that and set it out on social media. There's only one little tiny problem. Hillary sent that out on her Twitter account on Friday night. 48 hours earlier on Jimmy Kimmel's show, he did this.
This very date, October 16th, 57 years ago, the Cuban Missile Crisis started. And this letter from Trump is eerily similar to a letter JFK sent Khrushchev when we found out the Soviets were putting nukes in Cuba. He wrote at that time, "Dear Premier Khrushchev, don't be a okay? Get your missiles out of Cuba. Everybody will say, yay, Khrushchev, you're the best. But if you don't, everybody will be like, what an a-hole, and call your garbage country the Soviet Bunyan. You're really busting my here. Give you a jingle later. Hugs, John Fitzgerald Kennedy." So, I don't, maybe Trump is one of the great.
So, Hillary Clinton lifts the Kimmel bit word for word with no attribution and sends that out on her Twitter account to let everybody know how hip and relevant she is. It's just in this day and age, you plagiarize somebody's comedy bit and send it out as your own? That's just ridiculous. I still think she's going to get in the race. I still believe because Biden's fading fast. Oh, there was a funny story this weekend about a guy in Philadelphia who had a Biden was doing a rally, and he organized a watch party so everybody could come and watch the Biden rally. The Philadelphia Inquirer covered this. One other person showed up. He had bought all these snacks and refreshments, and they sat wordlessly and watched the first part of the Biden rally, and then they left long before it was over. So Biden ain't exactly catching fire. Liawatha will get trounced, absolutely trounced. And I think Hillary's going to get in stuff. Okay, we got a lot of local news to talk about. Big Lead at 2 is next.